speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
After death, what then? Are the dead conscious? Where are the dead? What about purgatory? Will the body be raised? What about future recognition? These are some of the questions we've been asking this week. After death, what then? We've established that earlier in our studies this week that man is a dual being. That is, that he's a soul that lives within a body. Job asked long ago, if a man die, shall he live again? Job 14, verse 14. And with no uncertain terms, the Bible says, yes, man shall live again. Our Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 1-3. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, in this body we groan. We want to be clothed with our new body. And he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1 of Philippians that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with the Lord, but it's more needful for you that I remain here in the flesh, that he might continue to minister and preach the gospel of Christ. To Timothy, he said, I'm already being offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. It's appointed unto men once to die. After this, there's a final judgment. In the meantime, when a person dies, the body returns to the dust of the earth, the spirit unto God who gave it. And we've noticed that there's this Hadean world, the place where spirits go awaiting the final judgment. And in the Hadean world, there are two compartments, you might say. One's a place of paradise, such as where Lazarus the beggar was. Yet the rich man lifted up his eyes in torments, both awaiting the final judgment, the final destination. Well, in view of the fact that the Bible teaches that there's a conscious existence after the soul departs from the body, some have gotten the idea that they can communicate with the dead, that they can, through a seance or through some mysticism, through some spiritualism, call up the dead. But the Bible does not teach that the living can communicate with the spirits of those who have passed from this life. In fact, the practice of spiritualism or spiritism is severely condemned in the Scriptures. We read such warnings. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19, verse 31. And also the warnings in Deuteronomy 18, Acts 19, Revelation 21. Men should seek God and not pretend to hold consultation with the dead. They should go to the law and to the testimony, and by tricks of magic and sleight of hand performances, mediums deceive people into thinking that they are receiving messages from their departed friends and their loved ones. Now, the narrative of Samuel's appearance to King Saul in the house of the witch of Endor, when properly studied, fall short of proving a real case of spiritualistic communication. Samuel indeed appeared to Saul and talked with him, but it wasn't through a medium. It was not through some seance. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 28, verse 3 through verse 25. At this seance, the Witch of Endor was just an ordinary, scared observer. The night scene at Endor is God's expose of her satanic system of deception. And going to this spiritualist, Saul did wrong. And spiritualism is of the devil and utterly false in its claims. Well, we come to another question. Will the body be raised? If the body returns to the dust of the earth and it's decomposed, then is there going to be a resurrection of the dead? The Bible teaches very emphatically that indeed there will be a resurrection. Jesus said in John 5:28-29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to a resurrection of damnation." And Paul said, they shall hear his voice and shall come forth. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust, Acts 24:15. The resurrected body will be a changed body. We shall all be changed, Paul said. This change will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Those who are dead shall be raised. Those who are living at Christ's return shall not die, but they shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Their body shall be made an immortal body. 1 Corinthians 15:20-57. Reasons that it's planted a mortal body, it's raised in immortality. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. And the Scripture says that men's spirits will leave Hades when Jesus comes again. Their bodies will be raised at the last day. At the end of time, the spirit shall come from Hades and the resurrected body shall come from the graves, and they will be united with their resurrected immortal bodies. And forever, they will either be with the Lord or forever in torment. There will be that great judgment day when all men shall give an account of the deeds done in the body. And by his resurrection from the dead, Christ has abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. The faithful child of God has nothing to fear in dying. He knows that Christ has conquered death. Ultimately, all the dead shall be raised. And he can say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalms 23. Well, we ask another question. What about future recognition? Will we know one another in heaven? Will we recognize deceased relatives who have gone before us? Will the redeemed know each other? Although the Bible does not speak directly on the subject, many passages of the Scripture seem to imply that indeed they will. Jesus said that the earthly relationships will not exist in heaven, that is, in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage, Matthew 22:30. But he did teach that memory and personal identity will remain. The essential elements of recognition are retained in this future state. You know, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and there he was transfigured before them, there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with him. They were not just disembodied spirits with no entity, but they were recognized as to who they were. This was Moses, who had been dead in an unknown grave for hundreds of years. Elijah had been taken up in a whirlwind. But here they are, talking with the Lord. And in Hades, the rich man recognized Lazarus, and he begged for mercy. "Father Abraham, send Lazarus over that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue." And when that wasn't possible, he remembered that he had 5 brothers back on earth. Send Lazarus back that he might warn them. But there was no returning to earth with a recognition of spirits communicating with man on earth. And there is a resurrection. Jesus' statement concerning the sociability of heaven as a feast implies personal recognition. He said in Matthew 8, verse 11, "Many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, will Abraham and Isaac and Jacob be known? If they are known, surely others also will be known. Heaven will be the family of God of all ages in the Father's house. There God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, Revelation 21, verse 4. The righteous spirits will be resurrected in immortal bodies, not some kind of ghost-like being. And when David's dead child was yet unburied, he said, "I shall go to him. He shall not return unto me." 2 Samuel 12, verse 23. This surely meant that he expected to rejoin that child and expected to recognize that child. And also, is there not implied recognition in all of these references? What comfort could David find in the thought that he would go to his child and yet he would know who that child was? Paul said that he would be made happy in heaven to know that those whom he had converted had remained faithful and would be among the saved. Philippians 2:16. And obviously Paul knew that memory would not be annihilated. He anticipated a renewing of old associations, a recounting of mutual trials and of giving thanks to God. John's recognition of Christ on the Isle of Patmos implies a future recognition among the saved, Revelation 1, verse 13. Man's knowledge of heaven and the future life is necessarily limited while he's on earth, because the Lord hits at the pleasures that await beyond the grave. John expressed the thought, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is." 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Christians know that their separation here is only temporary, that they shall meet one another and live forever in heaven with the Lord. And what a blessed hope Christians have of life beyond the grave and of a reunion on the other side. No wonder Paul said then, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And speaking about the return of the Lord and the going home to be with him in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through verse 18. "So indeed, we are a spirit that lives within this body, and yet we as a spirit will live forever and ever, either with God or forever eternally in torment. It's up to how we live now. It's appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. Have you made your preparation by your belief in Christ, by turning away from sins and repentance, by confessing the name of Christ and being baptized into his family, into his name? I hope that you will do that. Until the next time I come your way, a very pleasant good afternoon."